you looking for solid answers on why our healthcare system is so jacked up? Tired of the soft talk and ready to get real? Then turn up the volume and tune into smashithealthcare.com, where real, serious medical advisors are discussing how to save our healthcare system.
Get ready to get smashed. Hey, welcome back, Smashers. This is Bob Salvato on the mic. I'm here with Johnny B. Lightning and Danny from Soho. We have not talked to you guys in a little bit, and we're sorry for that. And we're just circling back and letting you know we're still here. Well, I was trying to do a heart thing. The heart is still pumping. We are still here.
We are the Lollipop Kids.
Oh, wow. That's a good one. Anyway, guys, we wanted to talk to you about an interesting subject today. But first, let me say hello to the fellow Smashers. You know, we got a growing crowd out there. We're, sharing the love a little bit more and more. And, we're working on some things to get a little bit more exposure out there on the Think Differently campaign of Smash It Healthcare. And I got to tell you, there's a couple of industry, professionals. A big shout out to our buddy Mike that, is saying, yeah, hey, look, you guys are hitting it, the nail right on the head. You're talking about things that we've been, dealing with and facing, over the last, couple decades. And it makes sense. Look, we're also trying to make it entertaining, right? Right, John? I mean, we don't want to have boring conversation about healthcare.
Excuse me, Mr. Salvat. I'd like to jump on the microphone if I can.
Is that a microphone or a stethoscope? We get for a very good price.
So basically, we're not doing that. Okay. And I can tell you that if we do, Danny from Soho sends us a little obscene message in the chat, and it's basically that you're lame as boop. Okay. So, and we're not doing that, right? Right, Danny?
Nope.
Not at all. So today we're going to talk about an interesting topic because, this is getting more and more a bigger concern. I think COVID has brought on some considerations here. And look, healthcare payment models, what is that? What's going on with healthcare payment models, John? What are your thoughts when we talk about, let's say we talk about value-based payment models, we talk about alternative payment models, we talk about center Medicare, Medicaid services. Look, this isn't med device per se directly. I mean, we're not talking about instruments, we're not talking about implants and all of that, but how do we pay for all this stuff, right? Either the outcome that when we pay for this, either we're finding some way to invest back into technology and improve technology, Or we're going to cut ourselves off at the knees, and we are going to be the Lollipop Gang, right? Yeah. I mean, we're going to walk around and we're going to pretend to have great products and all this, and really it's just a lot of Me Too crap and that's it, right?
Yeah.
No innovation if you don't do this right. So we do need to talk about this. This is kind of. It's not the pink elephant in the room, but it's the dirty one in the corner,
yeah,
right?
Well, there's a lot of third rail politics in these discussions, Bob, as we'll probably dance around a little bit today. You know, the interesting thing, just to give our listeners a little background, what we've discussed a lot in our podcast, and I think we lose some of the John Q public in our drones because, quite frankly, we know of certain things that most people don't know about. And a lot of folks, especially like in when you're talking about government having their hand in this, it's Medicare and Medicaid. So whenever you see Medicare, Medicaid, just strike that and you can just call it government, right? your tax dollars at work. And something to understand is that, without diving too deep into the weeds, there are more people on Medicare and Medicaid every day than there ever have been in the history of our country. And we have to evolve to try to capitate some of that pricing. Now, the interesting thing gets to be is the knowns versus the unknowns. Some of the unknowns are technology and how that's going to affect efficiency and how that can bring down the cost of treatment. Now, the interesting thing from my perspective is a lot of the naysayers when it comes to government intervention in healthcare has to say, well, it has to fit in this pretty little box and the government only wants to pay for this. And you know, to give our government a little credit, they are seeking advice from these practices, from these groups, from these clinicians, from these hospitals, facilities at large, doctors of all niches and subspecialties. The question gets to be is, are they putting into practice? Are they governing these payments the best way possible? And I give them credit for at least trying to find some ways to create efficiencies to bring down the cost and drive up the value. I think it's easy to do either one independent of the other. It's easy to capitate pricing, or it's easy to capitate costs for Medicare and Medicaid. It's hard to do that while driving efficiencies and increasing the quantitative measurement of how good your healthcare is. That's the third rail, right? So when you put those two together, you can look at it and say, well, government shouldn't have any business in this. Well, they've got to have some, because it's the negotiation that we made a long time ago. It's the social safety net for our aging seniors and for those who cannot provide healthcare for themselves. There has to be some form of or metric of payment. And I think that's where it gets fuzzy. I think we're going to try to talk about that a little bit today and try to get through, make as much sense of it as we can with a little quips and jabs from some articles that we've been looking at.
Yeah, I think it's a great way to sum it up. I mean, look, you know, Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services, right? They're CMS. They have, you know, state Medicaid programs, and we've talked about this on other shows, right? And so they're giving reimbursement, right? So a code is issued, and then they're making sure that, you know, based off of those codes, that they're properly reimbursed. And then there's a tie-in with the federal government, right? And the way the federal government works with the state programs and how that all happens. So essentially, you know, we're looking at, on a state level and federal level, we're looking at taxpayer dollars that are being spent, and we want to make sure, right? They want to make sure, as the government, we the people, want to make sure that this money is being spent wisely. Agreed.
So how do you spend your money wisely, Bob?
Right. How do we do that? Well, when you have certain, you know, physicians or groups, and they're just banging on the same code over and over and over again and really kind of abusing it, and not, you know, really the code kind of fits into the model, so we'll just go ahead and we'll use this code, and maybe the code applies, maybe it doesn't apply, or maybe your coder's really on autopilot and it's really, you know, kind of by way of design, and they just don't, you know, they don't know. Right. They do know. They don't know. I don't know. The stuff gets lost in translation. So, you know, if you're on the other end of this stick, you're on, you know, CMS's side, they're saying, hey, we've really got to start entertaining better options.
Yep.
Right. So they're now introducing different types of value based payment models. And the adoption of these models is increasing substantially. And we're referencing this from a big shout out to healthaffairs.org and a little article that they put out fairly recently, June 9, 2021. We have Hannah L. Crook, Robert S. Saunders, Rachel Royland, Aparna Higgins, Mark B. McClellan. And basically it says a decade of value-based payment. Lessons learned and implications for the Center of Medicare and Medicaid Innovation, part one. We're also referencing some other information also, and we'll go ahead and we'll add that to the site so you can reference it for the show for all of those that really want to say, where the heck did they get this info from?
Yeah.
So
must find out.
Look, and I'm going to say this, you know, full disclosure. I'm not a billing expert. I'm not a coding expert. I'm not a, you know, value-based payment expert. They're out there. Anything that you don't like, well, you've got your own issue, because it ain't mine. So go call them.
It's very nice.
Talk to them.
Very nice.
And, you know, look, I mean, come on. You know, this is a podcast. We're having a conversation, right? It's just like you, me, you know, a smasher and somebody who may be not a smasher. We're sitting in the living room and we're talking. You know, we got a couple of cigars. We got some good old scotch and we're just sitting down and we're like, baby, let's talk about this.
I'm melting. You had me at cigars.
Right? Right? Right.
And then you threw scotch on top of that and my eyes just rolled back.
Oh, my goodness. Now all we need is one of your green egg pizzas and we're freaking doing it, baby.
I'm doing it. None of us are going to leave the couch for hours, by the way.
Hours. Because we're going to be so enthralled in the conversation about value-based payment systems.
Absolutely.
Right? Yeah, just that. Anyway, so, okay, so what is a value-based payment system for those of you like me who want to know what the heck that is, right? So, value-based payment models are coming up with, there's variations of it. One is ways to grade or measure physicians to report on, and it's called meaningful use, right? So they come up with 23 measures to report on, okay? And if a physician, if the way I understand it right, the physician reports on these properly, then they make a little bit more money. And if they don't report on it properly, then they actually get hit with a fine. So the goal is...
It's a penalty.
So the goal is to avoid as many penalties as you possibly can. I don't know. You know, you're starting off the show with a spanking. I don't know. You know, it's kind of going over like a fart in church. Do the physicians like it? I don't know. All right. And then there's PQRS. All right. Love the acronyms. Love our military. Semper Fi. So PQRS. Physician quality reporting system. Gotta love that one. Gotta report on the quality, right? Aspect, right? So now they're grading you on that. And again, there could be a penalty or you can make, you know, good money, right? Then there's, then you have chronic care management. And then the other one is transitional care. Can't talk today. Transitional care management program. So if you get everything reported properly, you make some good money. You get what, full reimbursement for the grant? I don't fully understand it, but it sounds really good. It sounds like there's a lot of different ways that you can win, right? But here's the thing, and John, we were talking about, you know, we had a little pre-show discussion and John asked a great question, and that is, who's doing the grading and who's coming up with the parameters and the check marks and all of that.
Mm-hmm. Very important. So
what, that's a great question, right? It's gotta be CMS, somebody in CMS, yep. Right? Was yep. this person voted on? Were they elected? Are people bored? What is it? Yep. Right. We need to know more about that.
Yeah. The interesting thing, and it gets back to putting a round peg in a square hole a little bit. Okay. So the parameters set forth are probably, but unto themselves, they're probably great parameters, right? Meaning if you do this, go to box C. If you did this, go to box D.
It's like filling out your taxes.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think the intentions are incredibly pure, meaning let's keep the physicians on task. Keeping the physicians on task will create efficiencies over time. The problem
is, can't they simplify it?
Hold on. Let me finish my point. Then you can really explode. Typically when we quantify good behavior from a government standpoint, what we always do is we create a bureaucracy, right? We create a bureaucracy. So then there's two forces working against the middle. Now I would tell you this. From where I sit, the downside to this is you're making healthcare less custom and less personal. Okay. That's always the argument, right? You're making each patient's healthcare needs fit into a scripted outline. And quite frankly, everybody's different. Our DNA is different. How we respond to medications are different. How we respond to different surgical procedures is different. And then that's just the patient side. Each physician is different. They see things differently. They communicate things differently. They rationalize their care differently. That's the portion that that Medicare CMS is trying to get their hands around. They're trying to say, okay, listen, you can be as pragmatic about this as you want to be, but ultimately, if you want to get full reimbursement and for us to bless your practice and bless what you're doing from a reimbursement standpoint, you must check these boxes. Okay. Now, what patients have to understand is this, their ability to push their physicians to think outside the box is going to be extremely limited on Medicare and Medicaid. Okay. You can see why. You have to follow this outline. Now, that being said, let me explain why I feel like this is a silver lining moment, because there are going to be facilities, doctors, okay, practitioners at large, that are going to drop out of the Medicare and Medicaid system. And you're going to say, John,
what?
JB, what? Don't say it ain't so, man. I don't
want why, we can't why have, they do
we
that?
We can't have less practitioners. We're already we strapped can't. For practitioners. Well, let me explain the silver lining. The silver lining is this. These same clinicians, practitioners, and facilities are going to, they're going to have the constraints lifted, but they're also going to innovate and make efficiencies outside of CMS just to compete financially with CMS. Why is that good? Well, overall number of Medicare and Medicaid use, if you start taking the N population that qualifies, and there is a significant portion that qualify for Medicare and Medicaid that still have their own private insurance and or they pay cash out of pocket. If you take those people out of the works, guess what you've done? You've driven down the cost, the overall cost of Medicare and Medicaid. Their budgets will come into better aspect. There'll be a little bit more leeway for the custom and the personal side of each patient and each doctor interface. And it just takes a little bit of gum out of the works, if you will. It takes a couple chinks out of the chain, and the whole system will work a little bit more efficiently, because folks that want a little bit more of a custom touch or a little bit more personal care from a healthcare standpoint that can afford it, they're going to move off that CMS log roll, if you will, and onto their own dime. And I think over time, that is going to create better efficiencies, because then CMS will be able to look at these practices, facilities that have left them and say, how are you running that efficient of a business?
Right.
And they will learn, they will truly learn what efficiencies look like in how these practitioners are running their care.
Okay.
That was a mouthful.
But if
you followed me,
yeah,
I'm hoping you did.
Okay. I think Danny's trying to do some sort of noise there, and it came across as just an airy little fart. And
sounded like a faucet running.
It might have been appropriate, because I just finished at least 2/3 of my glass of scotch and smoked half my cigar. So
you're welcome.
Thank you.
I'm making you. So you're saying I'm going to make you drink more.
That's it. And so now I'm going to give you a very, very liquidy response.
Oh, good God.
All right. So I don't know. You know, here's I'm going to get contentious here for a second.
Please.
They had to do something, because who the hell wants to carry, you know, or take care of Medicare, Medicaid patients when you don't get right? You don't get proper reimbursement, right? So these physicians don't even want to do it anymore. They're just like, I'll just do fee for service. Yeah. I'll do fee for service. I'm not taking it.
Still getting that, a lot of it.
Yeah, that's fine. I'll do fee for service, and you could send it to the insurance company, or you could send it to whoever yourself, right? And right. I'm not doing.
Pay for it out of your HSA.
Yeah, that's it. I'm not doing any of this. And then people look at you and they're like, what? And so, you know, if you're a physician and you have to do super high volume just to, you know, pay half the bills your buddy can do, right? Because he doesn't take this, you know, type of reimbursement on, right? Mm-hmm. Then they got to do something, right? They have to do something. They got to come up with a better way, a better gadget, a better method of doing this, and to engage them and to try and I don't know, you know, I just think, like, you know, I think they could simplify this. All right. And I'm going to get a little simple here and, you know, I don't even know if this is a good idea. It's probably not, but what about, you know, okay. Here's one of the ways that they could. So instead of meaningful use and having 23 measures to report on, how about this? You're let's pretend you're the physician, John. You're Dr. Johnny B. Lightning. Okay. Yep. Dr. Lightning.
All my patients are very electrified.
Yes, very electrified. You can be some sort of electrophysiologist. All right. So you did you kill any patients this past year?
No.
By way of your care,
no.
Did any patients die directly by way of your care?
No.
Bing, bing, bing. Big bonus for you, Dr. Johnny B. Lightning. All right. Okay, that's number one.
That's a low bar.
Yeah.
That's a very low bar.
Number two. Yeah, you'd be surprised. Number two. Was anyone severely damaged or had to be admitted to the hospital due to your care? Because of your maltreatment, something went sideways.
Well, that would be a tough one, right? That's a very gray question. But for the sake of your argument, I'll say no.
No. Bing, bing, bing. You got a bonus, baby. Good. You're doing real good, Dr. John B. Lightning.
That's because I'm right? Good.
Yeah,
I'm good.
So now, mind you, okay. Now you got to have something that goes ahead and checks the data and make sure that none of his patients had filed any formal complaints, right? That raise any red flags that say Dr. Johnny B. Lightning is lying, right? Okay, and then how about this? Did you care for your patients? Increase your optimum of care over last year and prescribe less medication?
Yes.
Bing, bing, bing. You got a bonus. Welcome to the CMS show where you are.
Soho, I love the bing, bing, bing.
Listen, man, if they just break it down to something as simple as this, right? Okay. Well, you know, if they do screw up, you know, instead of really penalizing them, there can be a public flogging, you know, freaking everybody gets to take a turn and, you know, kick him in the crotch, or you put his, you know, arms up against his practice wall and on YouTube, you know, peg him with some racquetballs. I mean, I don't know. I just don't know if doing 23 measures to report on, right, and then having a quality reporting system and a chronic care. I mean, I'm kind of getting the feeling like there's going to be these groups that say, you know, I know you have a problem, you know, optimizing your meaningful use reports and your physician quality reporting system. And I have a consultant here that will help you, Dr. Johnny B. Lightning, to optimize your return. And we just want to, you know, work with you. Just, you know, consider them like an accountant, if you will. You know, we're just making sure that, you know, you dot all your I's and you cross all your T's. You mind your P, Q's, and R's, if you know what I mean. And then now you just have a percentage of guys who have the wherewithal to report on this stuff.
Yeah.
Needless. What's interesting is patient volume. Like, how many people are these people taking care of? And the fact that they report on, is that relative to the amount that they're reimbursed? I mean, I don't know. Seems like another tangled web that we're weaving.
But hold on a second. You just answered your own
question. You talk about silver lining. And what I don't want to do is I don't want to encourage, you know, an overreach.
This is the bureaucracy I was talking about. You're creating another bureaucracy. I think at the end of the day, I think what you're facing here is there is a need. There is a need to create some efficiencies inside of Medicare and Medicaid. There needs to be a choke point for the cost, of the overall program, right? But I do believe is that physicians can still have the flexibility to have really, really good outcomes and to still be able to practice medicine, right? The one of the things that we're not talking about here is, well, if we're going to lock ourselves into having to check off 20 of 23 boxes and 9 of 108 PQRSs, then the ability for my physician to step out of that realm and to treat me a little bit more personally and custom is really hampered. And yet those oftentimes, you know, maybe I just watch too much Dr. House, right? But those are the times, a lot of times, where the crux of that healthcare problem exists. And a lot of times they get fixed when you've got a really knows his stuff or knows her stuff physician steps a little bit outside of the box and says, I'm going to try this and that, even though it's a little outside of the continuum of care that's printed in the documents from the government. I'm going to do that. I think I'm going to stumble into being able to provide a higher level of outcome for my patient. That's the part that I get the most concerned about is from a big nuts and bolts system, from a huge group system, from a CMS totality of how much the reimbursements for and how much tax money has to be used for this. I understand the impetus and the intent to create efficiencies.
I do too, but I'm just saying you got to simplify that.
Well, and I don't like to squelch the intelligence and the clinical wherewithal of our good clinicians, the people that got into medicine. Ultimately, they did not get into medicine for money. They got into medicine to help people and to figure out and solve problems. That's right. What they're good at. They're great problem solvers.
Right. So to that point, if we simplify this here, okay, let's incentivize them by don't kill anyone, don't hurt anyone, and help people get better faster.
I believe that's the Hippocratic Oath. Do no harm.
Right. And if we could put some parameters around don't kill anyone, yeah, don't hurt anyone, and help people get better faster, and we just stick to those three things, yeah, right? And you're doing it in a cost-effective manner, which yeah, means, you know, you're not prescribing them to death, yeah, right? Then I think we're on the path to something real that people can stand by and really, you know, what the American dream for healthcare is really about, right?
Yes.
I really do, because I think once you start getting a lot of these other companies involved and you start getting all these other things involved, that it really does start to become this convoluted mess. And, yes, and you know, I just think that we could really make a difference by not, you know, overcomplicating the hell out of this system with the coding and this and that and the other. I mean, there's got to be technology and data that can help quantify those three things. You know, overall, you know, a patient gets a survey. Hey, in order for us to process your bill, you have to fill out the survey real quick. Did you die? No. Did you get better by your physician's care? Yes. Did your physician's care result in harm or damage? No. Boom. Done. Okay, now you can pay your bill, and now you can leave.
Yep.
And now you can be sent on your way. Thank you. Our country thanks you. You are a freaking healthcare patriot. We love you, okay? You're helping the greater good by answering these three questions. And I listen, keep it simple, stupid. You just have to. And I'm not saying that's the answer. I'm just saying we need to move more in that direction than having 543 ways to grade a doc in their practice. because they're all not going to run efficiently. They're all not going to run effectively. And what CMS can do, instead of hiring an entire audit team in order to look at all of these, you know, parameters and whether or not people, you know, or the physicians have met all of them, they can now start to redirect some of those funds, taxpayer dollars, if you will, to innovation and technology and sharing that with these physicians and these groups so that they could say collaboratively, okay, how do we have less people die? How do we hurt less people? And how do we increase optimum of care and speed it up?
Yep.
And let's introduce those technologies. Because if you don't fit in those three groups, whether you're a pharmaceutical, med device, or physician care, then you got to go.
Yeah.
Right?
Efficiencies, baby.
That's it. That's it. And it's not rocket science. You don't need 4 million codes for that. You know, you just got to, you just got to look, I like, in the sense that the silver lining and they're trying to find something and do something, I agree. Okay, I agree. All right. But please, please, you know, what's the definition of insanity? Doing the same thing over and over and over again and expecting a different result. And there's got to be someone that's young and innovative, up and coming, and that looks at it and it has the cojones to sit there and, at the meeting and go, you know, I don't get it. I don't get it. And so, you know, it's like Simon Sinek. Simon Sinek has a video on I don't get it. I love it. I don't get it. You know, why do we got to complicate it so much? You know, what is our end result? What's our goal? Well, we don't want to kill people. We want them to heal faster and we don't want them to get hurt. Okay. Well, how does this apply to that? Right? How does this apply to that? Anyway, you got anything else you want to add?
No, I mean, I think
puff, we're, puff, sip, sip.
I think we've identified the intent and the problem and some potential solutions, right?
Yeah,
that's what our job is, to dissect this stuff, find out what the problems are or what the unintended consequences there too. You know, and to submit some solutions.
And CMS, if you can figure out a way to save money. Yes. Thank you, Danny, for that at the end of the show. If you could find a way, right, to save money, right, and inject some of that capital into our brothers and sisters in the med device industry, right, and help them get to where they want, put out more grants, innovation grants. You know, we're putting out grants for, you know, the next big satellite. Do you hear they're coming out with something better than the Hubble telescope?
Yep.
Crazy.
Well, it's going to crash into the Earth anyway. I mean, it's got a shelf life for sure.
What is?
The Hubble. Yeah, I mean, it's in lower atmosphere satellite orbit, so it's getting closer to the Earth every day.
Don't make me nervous. They can't. They couldn't put a couple of little jets or drones on it to push it the other way.
No, it's It's
orbit. They need to freaking hire some people from Marvel Comics. They really do. They need to hire some people from Marvel Comics to work with the engineers to get a little bit more creative to keep our people safe. It's crazy. Stop. Are you going to tell me we put a satellite out there and then it's going to land on us and it's going to kill our own people?
Well,
let's
just give it to Elon Musk, because obviously he seems to be the answer to everything on this podcast.
Props to Elon. Elon! He's going to be on here one day. We're going to be significant enough for Elon to grace us with his presence.
Oh, boy. That would be quite a show. Quite a show.
Who talk like this?
We'd have to have it in studio. We'll have to up. We'll have to one up Joe Rogan. We'll have to do cigars and scotch instead of weed.
Oh yeah, we'll get Joe. We'll get Joe, Elon, and then we'll shake it up a little bit with Bezos.
Oh man, the room would explode. Boom.
Explode. Lots of cigars for that one.
I mean, we'd have to record that one in segments, I think.
We would. We'd drag that out as long as we could. All right, Smashers, thanks for joining us today, man. Much love. Thank you so much for all your likes and support on the social media and the interweb. We hope today's show was entertaining enough. And listen, if you're out there and you're serious medical advisor about saving healthcare, we want to encourage you to do something, okay? Do something by thinking differently. Share it with your friends, share the show, share the vibe, and we'll see you on the flip side. Take care, brush your hair, talk to you soon. If you like today's show, then join the mission. Become a fellow Smasher. We're passionate about saving healthcare. Subscribe, like, share, tell your friends. Together, we can make a difference. Go to smashithealthcare.com. This show was brought to you and sponsored by Omedza.com.